My attention has been drawn to some very, well, I think, interesting contributions to public life coming from a regular blogger. My next guest is John Menadue. He was, for years, the head of the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet and served with distinction to Gough Whitlam and Malcolm Fraser. He was the CEO of Qantas. He was a director of Telstra. He was the Australian ambassador to Japan. He now runs a regular blog called Pearls and Irritations. And in this context, it's most important, though, to note that after leaving the public sector, he was also, for 7 years, the general manager of Rupert Murdoch's News Limited here in Australia. John Menadue, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
Reading your blog, which I enjoy from time to time, I'm astonished to see that you seem to have turned against your previous employer, Rupert Murdoch.
Yes, I think that's probably inevitable. I've working for Rupert Murdoch for 7 years back in the 1960s was frankly a pleasure. It was new blood. He was open to ideas. It was quite exciting. But I think in recent decades, his organisation has become a disgrace. It's trampled on democracy in three continents. It's damaged the media enormously in three countries. I think it's a tragedy that a person who set out and promised and looked as if he would be an important contributor to a new style of mediaism, media, open, has turned out to produce such a dreadful rogue organisation as News Corp.
Why do you think that's happened, and what are the examples that you point to prove your point?
I think it very largely stems from Rupert himself, that power is important. It's a great aphrodisiac for many people, including Rupert. He was denied power early on in his days in Australia by Menzies, who didn't think that he was really up to it. He went to the United Kingdom and was called the boy publisher or the dirty digger, was not accepted. And he's used his life in the media as a means to obtain recognition for his own earlier damaged ego. And to show power in the community. And he shows that power. He is recently, of course, supporter of Trump, supporter of Theresa May, supporter of Brexit. He supported the Iraq invasion and still justifies it. He's a climate skeptic. His organisation has been accused and convicted of phone hacking. There is serial sexism in Fox News in the United States. It's an appalling record for an organisation, but a great concern is for me is the way that he's used governments to enable him to rig the market in his own favour. It's interesting that his papers in Australia and elsewhere are always attacking what they call welfare bludgers, single mothers, but yet he uses government more than anyone else that I've ever known to extract benefits from governments. And that's what he did in your city of Melbourne. The takeover of the Herald and Weekly Times by Murdoch was achieved through political persuasion of the Hawke government. He's now seeking in the United Kingdom amendment to legislation so that he can complete his takeover with $20 billion of Sky TV, and he's also seeking to get media laws changed in Australia so that his organisation can inquire Channel 10. He says, of course, that he has said publicly many times that he has never attempted to influence governments or prime ministers, but it is just not true. I had one personal example after Whitlam won in 1972. Murdoch believed that he was entitled to some favour from the new Labor government of Whitlam, and I was the intermediary who had to negotiate with Gough Whitlam so that Rupert could be appointed Australian High Commissioner to London. I think he probably wouldn't have put up with a job for more than 3 to 6 months. But anyhow, that's what he wanted. And I was the intermediary. Gough laughed at out of court. And Rupert subsequently denies he ever sought that favour from government. But his record is that step after step, he seeks favour from governments to promote his rent seeking. It is not just rogue individuals, it's a rogue organisation. And the Australian government should resist any attempt to expand the media power of the news organisation, which already controls 60 to 70% of the metropolitan media in Australia. It is a disgraceful organisation.
Well, it seems those attempts to change the media laws will have been referred off from this session of the Parliament, and over the winter recess there'll be manoeuvrings behind the scenes, no doubt, and there may even be committees that are asked to look into it or not. But the great irony, of course, is that here's a media organisation that seems to target activists of all kinds, but I suspect you'd probably be arguing that they're, in fact, media activists themselves. It's just they don't mind supporting people whose views they agree with, but they absolutely rip apart anyone whose views challenge them.
That's right.
We've seen that with the Press Council this week. Extraordinarily, the chair of the Press Council has resigned because of the targeting of much, he says, personal reporting about him to do with the way the Press Council is structured, and it was only News Corporation amongst the Press Council's membership that were angry about a particular appointment of an activist from GetUp to the Press
That's
Council
right.
Board.
They are. It's an organisation which is addicted with power, power does corrupt, and it has corrupted that organisation. And as you say, they are not content just to dominate the traditional mainstream media. They all also want to silence NGOs or other organisations that might be critical of them. And they've really pulled out all the stops in the criticism of not only the Press Council, but also GetUp. GetUp is one of the few organisations in the country that is able to effectively resist the dreadful damage which the media organisation is wreaking in Australia. So they're attempting to stifle NGOs like GetUp. Murdoch and his sons, the great inheritors of wealth, want to cripple or defund the ABC. It's a very unfortunate and tragic pattern, the damage that Murdoch is doing right across the world.
Well, they did, of course, get a recent grant of $30 million of Australian taxpayers' money from Malcolm Turnbull's government in order to further promote the coverage of women's sport. And we're yet to be able to find out any details of where that $30 million is invested and how it, in fact, enhances the coverage of women's sport. So there's another example. John, my time is tight. I do need to move on. Do you expect... I don't think you're on his Christmas card list anymore for Rupert Murdoch's Christmas distribution.
I used to be, particularly when he was married to Anna. I used to have Anna Tor, she was, and Anna Murdoch. I always had lovely Christmas cards. And as I said, in my early days working for Rupert, they were a pleasure. One of the disappointments of my life is to see how badly that organisation has performed. So I'm not expecting any Christmas cards in the near future.
No, I don't think you should be holding your breath for that. Thank you for your time this morning, though. John Menadue, former Australian ambassador to Japan, former CEO of Qantas, former head of the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet under Gough Whitlam and Malcolm Fraser, it must be pointed out, and for 7 years, general manager of Rupert Murdoch's News Limited here in Australia.